I'm Kathleen Kogel, a Imagining America Scholar, 2013-14, Syracuse University, and I am interviewing Mary Jo. Mary Jo, what does being a publicly engaged scholar mean to you?
Okay, so being a publicly engaged scholar means to me the ability to take what I am learning in the classroom, to think critically about things that I'm learning in the classroom and apply them to the outside world. So in particular right now, that means in Syracuse University, but I believe that that should be true no matter where I'm at any point in my life, to just take what I've learned in a classroom setting or through any type of academia and be able to critically apply that in the real world.
That sounds great. What is your area of study?
Okay, my area of study right now is public administration. I also have studied at the graduate level psychology.
Mm-hmm. So. And what motivates you to study public administration and psychology?
So I personally am very interested in the intersection of the structural and more administrative side of systems, as well as the interpersonal. So where those two things come together, I think that's a gap that is missing in a lot of areas in public life, is just recognizing how much of a role understanding people at the interpersonal level should impact structural change and structural development. So that is why I'm motivated to study each, is to bring those two things together and sort of be in that space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does the ethos in the School of Public Administration support your engagement work?
Yeah. So before I had decided to matriculate into the public administration program, I met with their director and explained where I was coming from and what I was interested in. And she laughed and she was like, well, I happen to have my master's in public administration and in social work. So she was like, I am one of those people that likes that space as well, that wants to inhabit that space. And as a program overall, they're trying very much so to encourage students to understand how important the interpersonal piece is. So a lot of the coursework that's looking at social justice issues and things like that are getting at that level, while things like public budgeting and nonprofit management or local government, those types of courses are aimed obviously at more the structural side. So blending those things together is something that is definitely encouraged.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like you're going to be in the right place into the future.
Yeah.
What is your hope for Syracuse University as a whole?
So first and foremost, I think my hope is that in the coming years, with this shift in administration, that the university would still keep a focus on producing publicly engaged scholars and citizens. So I think it's a door that swings both ways. I hope that the university continues to welcome people into the university that maybe have been marginalized when it comes to higher education, mm-hmm. To continue to encourage them and provide opportunities for people that typically wouldn't be at some place like Syracuse University to still be coming here, while also encouraging students at Syracuse University to enter into the city, and to just this blending of people between city and university. I think that it should be one entity, really. Mm-hmm. And so that is my hope, is that those doors would continue to remain open in the coming years, and to grow, not only remain open, but to become wider, I guess, and
right.
Exactly. More passed through.
Excellent. Mary Jo, where are you working now?
I am working at two different places. I work at Hope Print, which is a nonprofit in the north side of the city that works with primarily the refugee community there, but also as refugees have moved out of the north side and different populations have moved in, we work with just the community members at large as well. We certainly don't close off to only working with refugee families. And I also work for the Northside Learning Center, which is specific to refugees. I teach an English class. Currently, I teach the high school boys' English class mm-hmm. there for refugee students.
Great. So. Will you share a story from your work for us?
Yeah. There are so many awesome ones I have to share. But one I think that I would really like to share comes out of my work at Hope Print. So in the over the summer for Hope Print, I ran a community development program. So I was teaching emerging refugee leaders. Some were in their 20s, some were in their 40s, male and female, teaching them how to really listen to their communities, and communities being their cultural communities as well as their as the community at large. Mm-hmm. And I'm starting to see how the individual communities fit together to create this larger Syracuse North Side. And during that, I formed some very close bonds with some of the women mm-hmm. in the community, and both American and refugee women. And I started to recognize this need for women to have a space of their own, to have a space to just be women with one another, and also a safe space that where they could share really difficult things or also share triumphs and successes. And then another fold of this is I was recognizing in these women true hearts for service and for community. But a lot of, especially the refugee women, just not having opportunities to really put that into action or knowing where to find those opportunities. So I developed a program called Her Village, which is healing, empowerment, restoration, and villages for this idea of creating like community, and that is representative of the village type communities that they are coming mm-hmm. from all over the world, which is similar to where I grew up in northern Maine as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And so we formed this group, which has been a huge success. And so we have a mix of American women, we have women from several African countries, the Middle East, we have a woman from Australia, just all over. And so for one of our, this is probably around, right around Christmas time, we had really formed a solid unit. And so for one of our group meetings, I decided to ask the question of what gifts they recognized in themselves that they had to offer, and what the outcome would be if they actually offered that out to the world. And the responses just like blew me away. So I had given the example of, for myself, I was like, well, something just simple, like it just can be very simple or as elaborate as you'd like. So I was thinking much more small scale. So one mm-hmm. thing I said was I can sing and I can play guitar, so I could go to a nursing home, which they're all familiar with, right. And play and sing to bring people joy.
Right.
So that's kind of like the level I was expecting, and the things that I got in response were just amazing. So I have a couple of them here to share. Haja is a lady from Sudan, and she said that the gift that she has is she has a very genuine love for her people in Darfur. And she said she wants to learn English. So I decided to push her a little bit more because they all want to learn English. So, mm-hmm. you know, how will learning English help you to love these people more? Mm-hmm. And so then she, with some coaxing, she went on to say that she wants to go back and teach English, that that's what she wants to do. So then I kind of nudged it again and asked, so what will teaching English provide for these people that you love so much? And she said, she explained that in Sudan there's this huge inequality of the groups in power and the groups that are responsible for a lot of the conflict that's occurring there. They all speak English, and so these marginalized groups that don't have a voice literally don't have a voice against these groups mm-hmm. in power. Mm-hmm. So she has this whole vision of going back to Sudan and teaching the marginalized groups how to speak English, mm-hmm. specifically with the goal of creating equality mm-hmm. And sort of easing this power struggle. Mm-hmm. And I just thought that was absolutely amazing. And so then we have Afra, who is a blind refugee from, also from Sudan, actually. She's from Khartoum. And she just, like, knew exactly what she was going to say. She said that she has very good business skills. So she wants to go back to Sudan, and she doesn't want to teach. She wants to set up a school for the blind that would teach the blind blind people in Sudan how to use computers. Mm-hmm. The problem that she sees is that many blind people in Sudan have a huge difficulty getting jobs. So if they could learn how to use computers, that would make them much more job ready. So, and she made sure to clarify that she has no interest in teaching. She wants to hire very good teachers, and she thinks that her business skills are exactly what they need to set up a school like that. And I thought that was absolutely amazing as well.
Wow.
We have so many I could share, but I guess one last one from an American perspective was from, she's in graduate school right now, studying international education, and she expressed that she's a good listener, and that is the gift that she has to offer the world, and that she wants to use that to tell people stories and give voices to those that are unheard. So I thought there was this really cool play on like this, these people that we often don't recognize how much ability they have or how developed their visions are, and mm-hmm. Then the American who like all she wants to do is listen to that and share mm-hmm. it with the world. So that was like a really powerful moment for me, and it was one of those moments when I recognized that we had created a space that was exactly like what I was hoping, and that was that's needed, and the joy that they had in recognizing that they have valid visions and these goals are attainable. So
yeah, that's incredible.
Oh, thank you.
Mary Jo, what are your next steps?
So I will finish the Master's of Public Administration program at Maxwell this next year, so I'll graduate in June of 2015. And then after that, I would really like to go on to get my PhD in clinical psychology with a focus on trauma and intractable conflicts.
Mm-hmm.
So that, I think, is the goal.
So. Wow. Mary Jo, is there anything else you'd like to add or anything I didn't ask you about that you'd like to share?
I think the last thing I would just like to say is how incredible this opportunity has been to serve as an engagement scholar, and how many doors that has opened up for me, and how much it has challenged me to think about myself in the world and in the city, and as a citizen in general, and what it means to live out these values on a day-to-day basis.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just so thankful for this opportunity, and I think that's what I would like to end on.
Great. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.